Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And that's James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Hear now the word of God. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and it is himself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so I'm going to begin with a prayer that I grew up hearing every preacher pray before they would speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, you may recognize that as the last verse of Psalm 19, right? And growing up, every preacher I ever had said that before they spoke. And I think it was a good thing, right? I think it probably helped them to remember that what they were saying was supposed to be pleasing to God, not just something that maybe I want to say, that it should be something that God wants me to say. And I think that it's important, would you please sit? Something that's important for us to remember in each of our interactions. And it's funny because it's funny how the Lord works these things out, because we have a devotional group at SNC that meets on Tuesdays and Thursdays at like 8:50. College times are weird, okay? So 8:50, so they can get to class by 9:25 and all that kind of stuff. And the scripture that we were using, the daily lectionary, the scripture for that day was Psalm 19. And we read through it, and we talked about things like, you know, what does it mean for the sun to be always giving light to the world, and all this different stuff from Psalm 19. It was really great. We had a great discussion. And they all got different things out of it. What I've kept focusing on was that last verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to God. And the last question we always ask at the devotional is, what is God calling me to be or to do through this passage? And to me, what God was calling me to do was to make sure that the things I say are pleasing to God. And I thought about how often I don't even think about that, right? I may think about that when I'm up in the pulpit, or at least at the very least I should, right? That the things that I say should be pleasing to God. And I may think about it when I'm in a big professional situation, or I might think about it when I'm teaching a class, but how often do I just throw that all out the window when I jump behind the wheel of the car, right? Just as a funny example, Harper, just like I think most kids, is a little pitcher with very big ears, right? To speak grandparents speak for Grandparents Day. She will completely ignore us if we tell her to do something, but if I say a bad word, oh, she could be five rooms away with the fan running and she hears it, right? she will pick that up and she will repeat it as many times as possible. So I will get frustrated in the car and I'll say something I shouldn't say, something rather unpreachery. And what happens is she picks something up and she stores it away and waits to bring it out, right? So one day I was doing pretty well and somebody pulled out in front of me and tried to hit us and I was like, I didn't say anything. It was very good. And Harper looks at me, she said, Daddy, from the back seat here, Daddy, is he a jackass? Like, don't say that word. And yes. But what I learn from having a little parrot in my own house is that the words that I say matter, right? They matter in little ways that I worry that I'm going to have a note from the teacher. You know, Harper's out calling kids this, that, and the other thing. And so far, so good. I don't do that. So far, so good on that. But it reminds me that when I say things, that there are people listening, right? And depending on what you do, what your position is, what you do in your life, more people may be listening than you think, right? How many people do you know who have stopped, who gave up on a subject? So let's say they gave up on math or they gave up on art or something like that in school because one day a teacher was having a bad day and they said something kind of mean to that student about how they were never going to get math and they just couldn't get it, and then they quit. Or that picture is ugly, and they said, well, I can't draw, I'm not going to try anymore, right? Just a small word at the wrong time can cause somebody to just give up, right? And in the same way, that can happen with pastors, right? When we speak and we're saying something that we think is funny but is hurtful to someone else, those words are remembered for decades. My parents still, and now forgiveness and all that kind of stuff, they should, right? But they still remember a pastor that we had when I was 8, okay, who made an off-color joke about one political party that my parents happened to fall into, and she was in a different one. And they're like, just always bothered us that she would, say those things about us, right? I guarantee you she doesn't remember. But they do, because it bothered, it hurt their feelings, right? We, whether we're a teacher, a preacher, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, somebody at work who's a supervisor, somebody who has some sort of influence, well, the things that we say matter. And we forget that sometimes. I think we say, well, I was just talking, right? You ever had somebody say, I was just saying, right? What does that mean? Right? When do we throw out, well, I was just saying? When do we say that? We say it when we know we're just saying something we shouldn't have been saying, right? Well, I was just saying that this group of people is lazy. Okay, well, there's one of them over there, and they're gonna get their feelings hurt. You shouldn't say that, right? Oh, I was just making this joke about women. Well, remember, there's women in this place, right? Is that a nice thing to say about them? Is that a kind thing? Is that a Christian thing to say, right? We want to, all of us, I think, really listen hard for when someone says something that offends us, but want everybody to give us a break when we say something that offends them. Is that fair? I think that we often get really mad about something. We may not admit it. We see somebody says something, or we hear somebody says something, and we're just, can you believe that? And then we go off and do very similar thing. James says this, just like a forest fire is started by a little bitty spark, so too can our words start big blazes. We think it's just a little thing, but it turns out to be something really big. And it hurts, and it burns, and it causes huge problems. The tongue, what we say, matters. It's said that words create worlds. Have you ever noticed that? What you speak and what you say can affect your attitude. It can affect what goes on in your life, right? When I began in the ministry, I said to myself, I'm not qualified to say these things, right? I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to cause somebody to freak out. I don't know that I can say exactly the right thing at exactly the right time. What do I tell somebody who's struggling, right? What do I do in that situation? Well, now I have students come to me all the time, and they come to me struggling with one thing or the other. And what I found myself doing is I say what I want to happen, right? I say, I want you to know, above all, that you are loved. And I look at myself and I say, am I doing that? Well, look, you've just locked yourself into doing it because you said it to them, right? And so this is something that I practice with myself, is that if I say something enough, then I start to do it, right? If you say, I'm going to get up at the right time and I'm going to read my devotional, this, that, and the other, and you keep telling people you're going to do it, eventually out of just guilt, you're going to do that thing, right? I'm going to be up at 6:30 every morning and I'm going to be walking a mile. You keep telling people and they say, hey, have you walked your mile? Eventually you're going to do it because you've been guilted into it. The more that we speak of something, the more that it takes place. The things that we say become the things that we do, right? Watch your speech for it becomes actions. Watch your actions before they become habits, right? This is the way of words. Our words don't have the same power as God's words, right? We've been talking about this in Sunday school, that when God speaks, things happen, right? God says, let there be light, and what? There's light. But our words do have power. You've heard it said many, many times, oh, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me, right? But we've all been harmed by words, and we've all harmed other people by words. What James is saying here is that a truth of humankind is that though we might try not to do this, we bless and we curse with the same mouth. And that those blessings that we say are rendered less believable by the curses that people see us say, right? If we're telling if I tell Harper that, hey, we have to love everybody and we have to be kind to everybody, but then she sees me treat people in an unloving way, then what am I actually saying to her? The first thing didn't really count. Or it only counts sometimes. It only counts if they look this way. It only counts if they're doing this or not doing that, right? So that first statement no longer has the same weight. How often have you seen a politician or a leader or a preacher or somebody else have their message diluted and harmed because of the words that they speak, right? It happens time and time again. It is a danger for us. But here's the deal. He says, a spring cannot pour forth water from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water, and a fig tree can't yield olives, and a grapevine can't yield figs, and salt water can't yield fresh. But when you clean the brackish water out of a spring, what's left? The fresh water. We can clean up. We can do the reclamation project on the spring that is our mouth. And it requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of discipline. Just like if we're trying to, how many of you have ridden a horse? Right? He uses that example, right? I have only ridden a horse a couple of times, and I definitely rode ones that were very calm, okay? But I do know that even with these calm horses that just wanted to stop and eat, and rather than actually going anywhere, that I had to stay on them, right? I had to make sure that I was, you know, leading them in the right direction, or else they were just going to wander over here to this bush, and they were going to chow down, and they were going to wander over here to that, they were going to have a snack, right? I had to keep gently nudging, I had to keep pulling and directing into the right direction. It's the same way with our tongue. We have to be vigilant about what we say. that everything that comes out of our mouth might be pleasing to God. Sometimes I think that what we run into is we say, well, I'm on right now, right? There are certain things I'll say from the pulpit, and I say, oh, man, I did really good. And then the second I'm out of Preacher Tim mode, I might go back into bad ways, bad habits. And that's not healthy. That's not positive. That's not a good example for her. It's not a good example for anybody, right? What happens if you run into me at the liquor store and you see me behaving badly, right? Then that turns into, right? My father-in-law doesn't trust churches, and his reasoning is when he was little, the preacher was talking about how it was bad to drink, and then he saw him coming out of the liquor store. I'm like, well, look, Gary, you gotta that was one thing, right? Not everybody does the same, but that one moment for him was, I don't have to listen to that guy. I don't have to listen to them anymore because they don't mean what they say. How many times do we damage our message by saying the wrong thing, by saying things that we don't believe? Instead, what if we said, everything that I say, I'm saying as though Jesus is in the room, right? What if we, it's Grandparents' Day, what if we spoke like Grandma was in the room with us? There's plenty of stuff now, I think of Granny Drum. There's a lot of stuff I would never say with her in the room, okay? Now, she's no longer with us, but if she was, she could weaponize guilt like nobody's business, right? You did something wrong in front of her, she'd not hit you. I mean, she didn't have maybe when she was younger she had that kind of stuff, but not as a grandma. No, she would give you a look, and she would say, I'm just so disappointed. Right. Oh, why do I know I'm just your grandma? Right. Just make you feel like a bug. Right. Because you had done that thing you shouldn't have done. What if when I speak, no matter whether it's to somebody that I agree with, somebody I disagree with, somebody that's cut me off in traffic, if it's somebody who's big and important or somebody who's low on the organization chart at work, what if everybody that I spoke to as though Granny Drum was in the room looking at me? That would affect the way that I speak. And here's the thing, Jesus is always in the room, right? There is nowhere that we can go apart from the presence of Christ. Amen? And so when we decide that we can treat this group of people this way and say awful things to them, but we say only sweet things to this group of people, Jesus is there for all of it. And Jesus doesn't come around and smack us upside the head, but he's disappointed, right? And I don't want that. I don't want Jesus to be looking at me with disappointment in his eyes, right? I want to please Jesus. I want the things that I say to be acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God. May we take this as our homework this week. Every discussion, every interaction, not that we would be just scared to death to say anything, but that we would say, hey, I'm about to... No. What would I say if Jesus was in the room? Right? What would I say if Granny was watching? And then... see if that doesn't improve everything, right? See if that doesn't make that commute less stressful. See if that doesn't make those the nightly doom scrolls on Facebook less difficult. See if that doesn't make you able to be ready to speak love in everything that we do. When we do that, then we have fewer people like my father-in-law who see us saying one thing and doing another. And then we have fewer people getting something bad, like Harper gets from me sometimes, and parroting that back out, which is not what Jesus would want us to do. What if we were ready to yield fresh water, wonderful fountains of blessing, whenever our mouth opens? It's we don't always have to speak. Right? That's something that I learned. I don't always practice it, but we don't always have to speak, right? We can speak joy, and then we cannot talk. We can bless, and we can be silent. We don't have to curse. So, let's go forth and be ready to serve and to love and to give that love in every word that we say. Amen?
Amen.